Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. I'm your host. Thanks for tuning in today. God has an answer for your every need, no matter what you're going through. God cares, God knows, and God has a plan. I love the scripture, and what a great, I hope you've had a great beginning to this new year so far, and I want to encourage you with one of the great scriptures of all time when it comes to God's will for your life, God's plan for your life for this new year and for what God's doing in your life is Jeremiah 29:11. I think we all know it and love it,
but sometimes overlook
the greatness of this verse. You know, it says in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. I know. I think that's the best part of the verse for me. Just to think about those words, I know. So I just kind of translate it. Whenever I'm confused, whenever I'm not sure, whenever I don't know, I just think of that those two words, God knows. God knows. When I don't know what the plan is, God knows. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you have faced. God knows what has hurt you. God knows what has disappointed you, what's let you down. He knows what you have gone through, no matter how difficult or challenging it's been. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. And then it says, God knows and he has a plan. God knows and God plans. And what a powerful thought that is. Not only does God know what you're going through, he has a plan to get you through it. So he said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. So not only does he know, not only does he plan, but the plan is good. And he says to give you a future and a hope. That's the final part of that verse, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And I never saw it like this the way I did a few years ago when I went over that scripture again and realized, wow, God says his plan is to give us a future and to give us a hope. In other words, hope is a gift. Your future is a gift from God. He said, I'll give you a future. That's a gift. I'll give you hope. That's a gift. So I no longer am looking at the future like, wow, that's the future could end up. The future may work out. The future might not work out. The future is a gift from God, and every gift from God is perfect. You have a perfect future waiting for you. Because God is going to make sure that it's good. And if you're hopeless, just ask God for the gift of hope. It's a gift. Just ask him for it. Just say, Lord, give me the gift of hope. I receive it in Jesus' name. That's how to live this life, man, this year and every year, this day and every day. You're listening live to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. Thanks for tuning in today. If you've got questions, we've got answers. Here's the number to call with your questions, 847-645-1355, 847-645-1355. Welcome to all of our listeners, our global broadcast around the country and around the world. Thanks for tuning in to Ask the Pastor and also syndicated on radio, and welcome to our flagship station listeners on AM 1160 in Chicago. Hope for your life, AM 1160 in Chicago. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. Great to have you and great to be with you for these moments together. And call with your questions today. If for some reason you don't get through, leave your name, leave your number. We'll set up a time for you to call and for us to call you back and set up an appointment one-on-one on one of our upcoming live broadcasts. So call me with your questions, 847-645-1355, and we'll talk to you about whatever you're dealing with and whatever you're struggling with. So let's talk to Dave in Chicago. Dave, welcome to Ask the Pastor today.
Thanks, Pastor. My question for today is, how do you go about finding a Christian mentor?
Okay, great question. You know, everybody, I think, you know, everybody that wants to grow is going to, God's going to make a way. God's going to always open the door for a person to have what they need in order to grow. And I think the first and primary mentor in any Christian's life, if somebody really wants a mentor and really wants to grow, is their pastor. And Paul said it this way. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these things entrust to others who will be able to teach others also. So Paul is talking about how to mentor and disciple and grow people and grow the kingdom of God. And he says, the things that you've heard from me, he's talking to Timothy, who's a mentor, who he's mentoring, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So finding a mentor does not require a one-on-one sit-down meeting. Now, there are times when that's a luxury. There are times when that's a great bonus in a relationship. But God has set up the church as a place where the shepherd feeds the flock. And to the degree that a person really wants to grow and be mentored, it's up to them to receive at the level that they want to grow. So how high do you want to go? That's how deep you have to grow. That's how deep you have to go in your desire to learn and in your desire to take in what's being heard and study. I think if Christians would be plugged into their church and then take the preaching that the pastor does every Sunday and Wednesday of whatever church they're a member of, that, and then study those things, study the things that are talked about, that person will be mentored more than sitting one-on-one with the greatest, smartest people in the world. Is take the prescription that God has prescribed for you is what God is speaking through your pastor. And so if you take that, listen to it, study it, take it home and look up the scriptures, take it seriously. A lot of times we take the messages that are preached in our churches, and so many people are just like, well, that's good and that's a great message, but I really need something specifically now for me so that I can be mentored or I can grow. And that is what God has provided for people to be mentored and for people to grow. And I've had people tell me that they sit in a church service, they sit in a class that we do, and they say I've had people come to me and say they take everything that they've heard and apply it in their business, and they apply it in their family, and apply it in their personal life. That's being mentored. That's being mentored. Taking what you are hearing that God is speaking through the God-ordained pastor in your life and applying it to every area of your life. Hope that makes sense. That doesn't mean that if you want to develop a skill in guitar playing, that you shouldn't find somebody who can play guitar and teach guitar. That of course is something that you do. But as a believer, we're mentored by our pastors through the preaching, the teaching, and then our commitment to study what we've heard, to dig into what we've heard, and to apply what we've heard. Hope that makes sense. That's how I would answer that, and that's what I've done as well in my life over the years, and it's helped me grow. And you know, reading books is a way to be mentored as well. I think we have to get away from thinking that we need personal attention from somebody in order to be mentored by them. I could have a mentor in an author that I follow their writings and I learn from what they're saying and I take notes and I study and apply it. I'm being mentored by that person whether they know me or not. And that's, I think, how we got to apply that. You're listening live, folks, to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow, 847-645-1355, 847-645-1355. and taking your questions on Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dick out. Let's talk to Anna in Chicago. Anna, welcome to Ask the Pastor today.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi there.
I've been trying to find a house, a place to live for the last, 6 months, and there's times where I'm getting discouraged, and after the question, I'm hoping that you could pray with me, but I'm having God knows the desires of my heart. He knows my list of criteria, which is not, huge, and I've had a couple people approach me or situations where I could take a house that's less than what I want, and I'm wondering, would that be like Satan trying to get me to doubt God and not wait for that special place where he has? Because I know if I had peace about these other places, that would be from God, but I don't have peace, but the price is, good and the location's good, what I want, but there's things missing that aren't there. And I don't know if I'm thinking, is that like the devil trying to say, well, you're desperate, take it, because God's not going to give you what you want. I don't know. Am I thinking wrong,
yeah,
or should I just keep waiting for the...
Yeah.
For that
I think you should wait for... I think you should wait for a couple things. Number one, first of all, you don't need to overthink it. It's the devil's trying to mess with your mind, and you're trying to process through all of the things that you have heard as a Christian, and you're letting them all sort of compete with each other, like the peace of God, and is the devil, or does God really want the best for you? The answer to this whole question is, number one, of course God wants the best for you. But number two, there's always something better when it comes to a house. And so what you have to do is manage your expectations by establishing what is the budget that works for me? What are the absolute essentials, and not what are the desires, the full desires of my heart, because God gives us things in stages, and we experience things progressively. We experience God's will progressively, the good will, then the acceptable will, and then the perfect will of God. It doesn't all happen at one time, and you shouldn't think that because you took a house that didn't have everything that you wanted, that somehow the devil is trying to cheat you, or God is not giving you what you want. Instead, be faithful to make a good investment, to buy something that meets your basic needs, gives you room to grow, gives you opportunity to save more money, makes a good investment, and it's a sound decision, and then it positions you for something better later. So if it's moving you forward for something better down the road, then that's a good move. If it moves you backwards, or if it moves you sideways and it's not any better than what the situation you're in now, then I wouldn't do it. But if it moves you forward closer to being able to get to that place where you can afford more, where you can have what you want, you got to kind of sacrifice what you want now for what you can have later when it comes to saving, and when it comes to budgeting, and when it comes to preparing yourself for the future. So I think a good financial advisor would be helpful in your situation. Some books on investing, or some articles on how to invest wisely in the property that you are about to buy, or in a home you're about to buy, or an apartment that you're about to rent. How to position yourself for progressive growth and progressive increase. That's how I would look at that. I hope that makes sense. Pat in Chicago, welcome to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. Thanks for calling today.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thank you.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Pat.
I Okay. I have been in this marriage, and it's been verbally and physically abusive, and it's kind of start, stop all over, you know, again. It's not continual. It's not every day. You know, so I keep thinking, okay, one more try. And the last incident, I was just like, this is so stupid. How do I keep going on like this? I don't want to get a divorce. And he says he's sorry, which I think he is sorry, but I don't know if he has any control. We've been to counseling, medications, combinations of medication. He tried Meyer clinics, which would not accept him because they said he was too aggressive for group type situation. And, I know he's sorry. I know he doesn't want to, but I feel like I'm getting mentally ill myself.
Yeah.
And I'm losing all sense of self-worth and,
yeah, for sure.
Joy.
Pat, what is the... We're going to pray together, Pat. No, it's okay. We're going to pray together in a moment, but what kind of abuse is taking place?
The last time we were in the car and he got enraged about something and he took his fingernail and dug it into the base of my eyes and, it turned my eyes black and his fingernail mark and pounding,
wow.
He's pounding on my leg. I mean, I've been bruised, black and blue, whether it's him physically doing it, he's choked me, he's pounded my head into the wall, he had a knife and he cut me with a knife, he will throw something and, and I've been in the way of that and gotten bruised with that.
Gotcha. This is so sorry.
Like I said, it doesn't happen every week, every day. And then he expects a physical relationship. There's nothing. There's no feeling. There's no, I feel like just totally destroyed my love. And I don't trust. I can't trust him. And he demands, not demands, but he'll say, this is, the Bible says that a wife has to submit to her husband, and I understand all that, but it's like crawling up into cobra. I'm physically shaking at this point. You're more resilient, but it's like, how much am I expected? I don't know what God wants from me, and I just am lost. I just don't know what else to do.
Yeah, it's really sad that it's really sad that he would behave that way. And no, you do not. Listen to me, Pat. You do not and should not put up with that any longer. If what you described is taking place, you have, and I obviously believe you because I can feel it in your voice and sense it in your heart. No way. You should not be in that situation. You have to get in a safe place, whether that's with a family member temporarily, whether you kick him out temporarily, get a restraining order on him, and get him out of your life right now for whatever it takes. He has to know that you will not be his punching bag. You will not be the person that he vents and expresses his lack of self-control towards. He can't abuse you with his anger anymore. It has to be zero tolerance. You need to kick him out, put his suitcase on the door, change the locks, get him out of your house, get him out of your life, no matter what it comes to, and call the police if you need to, and kick this man out from your world and from your life. And then not accept him back no matter what he does to apologize. It's beyond apologies. It's him getting the rehabilitation that he needs and a third party telling you that they support a reconciliation after evaluating his life. But the fact that a counseling center wouldn't even accept you guys because of his aggressive nature and That tells you everything that you need to know. You must not subject yourself to a relationship with this man any further. And you're not wrong. You're not sinful. You're not being uncompassionate. You're not being unmerciful towards him. You have to value yourself right now. You have to take your life back from this man right now. Today needs to be your day that it's over with this man. And he needs to see that there's nothing that you're going to tolerate. He needs to see that you're done tolerating anything. It's not even having a conversation with him anymore. It's putting his clothes on the sidewalk and changing your lock and getting him out of your life and letting him have to face his own the consequences of his actions. And by the way, Pat, that's the most merciful thing you can do for him. Because that's the only thing that's going to help him to see what he's done and to see what he needs. And if he's a man who's just going to walk away and not care that you've just kicked him out of your life, then you didn't need him anyway. So it's going to force one of two mm-hmm. things. It's either going to reveal that he didn't care anyway, or he's going to take it so seriously that he's going to go get the help he needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why
I
we
think
have.
He feels,
go ahead. You think he feels what?
I think he feels like he's tried. You know, he's tried everything, and you know, and I haven't died to myself, or you know, and
well,
I
he hasn't. He hasn't tried everything. Hard. He hasn't tried everything because he hasn't tried respecting you.
Respecting.
And he hasn't.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't respect you.
Yeah.
Any man that hits a woman, puts his fingernails in a woman, harms a woman in any way, physically or emotionally, and obviously emotions are more subjective, but any man that harms a woman physically has no respect for her. And he has to learn that, but not through you. You are not his teacher. You need to get him out of your life and get him out immediately.
Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I resent his, you know, his serving at church. And I mean, I'm like, well, how can, it doesn't go together. It just does not go together, you know. And I'm trying. I'm like, you know. And then he says, well, I've said mean things to him. You know, after all the years, I used to say nothing, and say nothing. And that didn't work. Then I tried to defend myself. That doesn't work. And then I hate myself.
Yeah, you hate yourself because you've allowed yourself to be abused by him. You hate yourself because you've allowed yourself to be mistreated by him, and you have to value yourself. As long as you put up with him, you'll continue to hate yourself. But when you say no to him, you're going to love yourself again. Because by getting him out of your life, that is loving yourself the way God intended you to. Because now you're caring for yourself. You're protecting your God-given innocence and your God-given godliness. And that's what you have to do, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray, because we're out of time. Lord, I thank you for Pat. I pray for her to have the strength to do what is necessary to spare herself from this abuse, to avoid this man, to get out of his life and to get him out of hers for now, for this season. I ask you to open up a way for her where there was no way, and open the door for her where there was no door, in that no man can close, and protect her from this man, protect her from his harm, protect her from his abuse. We bind his spiritual rage and anger from afflicting her and controlling her any further in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, I hope you'll do what I'm saying, what I'm encouraging you to do. Call us back tomorrow. We'd love to talk some more, Pat, and keep us posted. You're listening live to Ask the Pastor. Folks, we are just flat out of time. Go to church this weekend, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow.